the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, I have come to serve you, by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. This Wednesday, July 25th, is the feast day of St. James the Apostle. That's why I threw in the College of St. James. There are at least three men named James in the New Testament. One is called the Lord's brother, and he is a leader of the church in Jerusalem after Pentecost. The other two are members of the band of Jesus' 12 original disciples. One is James, the son of Alphaeus, who is designated James the Less. The other is today's saint, James, the son of Zebedee, James the Greater. St. Paul is a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. He drops his nets to follow Jesus after Jesus promises to make him a fisher of men. He is with Jesus during his entire earthly ministry, and then he is martyred some years after Christ's ascension. Today's epistle says, about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. James is part of one of two pairs of brothers among the disciples, St. Peter and St. Andrew, brothers, just as St. James and St. John are. The brother theme is extremely important in our thinking about St. James. It is a theme that is quite important to me personally, since I am the eldest in a family of four brothers, speaking of Archbishop Calhoun. I have two sisters. In today's gospel, James and John and their mother, who is not named, approach Jesus to ask him a question. When Jesus asks her, "What do you want?" she replies, "I want my two boys to have the seats on either side of you when you become king." That is a fairly outrageous request. Jesus takes her quite seriously, perhaps more seriously than any of the three intended. He says, "You don't have any idea what you are asking." He goes on to ask, "Are you able to drink of the cup I'm going to drink of and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with?" What he means is, are you willing to put up with suffering and dying as I am going to do? Probably having no clue as to what he means, James and John say, "Sure we can." Jesus replies, "You are going to suffer and die just as I am. But even so, it is not up to me to prepare the seating chart for the kingdom. That's up to my Father." St. Matthew doesn't report their mother's reaction to this disturbing news, but he does tell us what he and the other nine disciples thought about the whole conversation. When the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. It was bad enough for them to have asked for the best seats in advance, but it was tacky in the extreme to put their mother up to asking Jesus about it for them. James is the rendering in English of the familiar Hebrew name Jacob. Jacob is a pivotal figure in Old Testament history, first of all because of his relationship to his twin brother Esau. Jacob and Esau were the sons of Isaac and Rebekah, and the grandsons of Abraham and Sarah. You don't get any more better lineage than that. Jacob began his life trying to grab Esau's heel and get in front of him as the twin boys came down the birth canal. The older son inherited the birthright, and Jacob wanted it for himself. Later on, not to be denied, Jacob conned Esau into trading his birthright to him for some lentil soup. Then, to seal the deal and get his father's blessing, Jacob and his mother fooled Isaac into thinking Jacob was really Esau. Jacob went on to be the father of 12 brothers who provide the names and the ancestry of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the presence of two men named Jacob among Jesus' 12 disciples kept the connection to the Old Testament Jacob in the front of their minds. Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Isaac, Jacob and Esau, Ephraim and Manasseh, the prodigal son and his jealous older brother. The Bible is full of stories of situations in which a younger brother takes over the rightful place of his older brother. It seems to me that what all of these stories point to is how Christianity replaced Judaism, how the gospel, the upstart younger brother, if you will, took the place of the law, which is, as it were, the older brother. When Jesus hears that the other 10 disciples are provoked with James and John, he calls them all together. He tells them there is a difference between prestigious positions in the world on the one hand and being great in the kingdom of heaven on the other. In the world, people like to get themselves into positions of power so they can lord it over other people and make them jump at their command. He doesn't exactly accuse James and John of wanting that, but he clearly implies that their hope for good seats in the kingdom is not exactly noble. In the kingdom and the church, if you want to be great, the way to do it is not to lord it over other people, but to try to help them, and not to assert oneself as some sort of big deal, but to serve, to assist, to comfort, to love. Jesus says, "I am the Son of God. There can be no bigger deal than that. But I have not come among you to tell you how great I am, or to make you feel insignificant, or to boss you around for no reason other than my self-gratification. I have come to serve you and to give my life for you." As we know, St. James did drink the cup, and he was baptized with the baptism. He gave his life for Christ. And in the book of Revelation, when his brother tells us what the throne room in heaven is like, James is sitting on the throne with Jesus, not necessarily in the best seat, but certainly among the top 24. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.